Summer's a great time to be thinking about fruit. I enjoyed yesterday some cherries, some grapes, some watermelon. Amazing. I look forward to indulging more today. But we've got even better fruit here for us. The fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is the work of God's Spirit in us to create the very life of Christ in us. And the first of these fruits is love. God Himself is love. Love is not God. God is love. So much of the love we experience in our world has control or manipulation or codependency laced inside of it, or selfishness or false motives, right? But God's love is pure, and it comes to us through the gospel of Jesus. And if we taste and see it, a love that is eternal, that never ends, that is so rich and wonderful, shared between Father and Son, it had to be a person, the third person of God, the Holy Spirit. As those three persons dance around one another, the early Christians said, it's like a river overflowing its banks of love, and that love comes down to us through Jesus, through His Spirit, through His Word, and we get to taste it and see it and have it be our ocean rest of happiness, as an old hymn says. And then we get to share it. We get to grow this fruit as the Spirit is at work to create love in us. This is the first of the fruits. This is the best of the fruits. This is the fruit by which all the other ones have their place and purpose. Love. Let's hear again the list of these fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and then dive into Paul's great chapter to the Corinthian church on love, 1 Corinthians, the end of chapter 12 and chapter 13. Hear now the word of the Lord to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I will show you still a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Oh, Father, you are love. In love, you sent your Son into the world, your only beloved one, to bring us into the love of God at the cost of his life, at the passion of his cross, at the cost of your grief and loss, Father. Spirit of the living God, come now, you're the Spirit of love. Fall afresh upon us. Fill us with God's love for us. Shower us with the river of love that will bathe our souls and does not dry up, a love that will not let us go, a love that never ends. May that love grow in our lives as you rain grace down upon us, O Spirit, and as you weed out that which is not of love. May love, your love, reign in our lives, in this congregation, in your church spread throughout the world, in this whole universe. May love flourish and grow, Holy Spirit, all to the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you may be wondering, where are the bridesmaids and the groomsmen? Where are the bride and groom? Where are the cute little flower girls and the little ring bearer? This is not a wedding today. We so tend to associate 1 Corinthians 13 with weddings. It's ironic. That's a lovely little application of how husbands and wives can learn to love each other. But this really isn't a passage about eros, marital or romantic love. This is a passage about agape, about God's love to the world through Christ, a love that permeates every relationship. Yes, it ought to be there in marriage and flourishing, but it's to be everywhere. The context for this great love passage, right, in 1 Corinthians 13, is Paul has been teaching the Corinthian church. They're having all kinds of problems and struggles, and he's been talking to them in the previous chapter about spiritual gifts, about how the body has different parts, how different members of the body of Christ have different experiences and endowments, and especially gifts of the Spirit, but we all learn to serve in harmony and in synergy with each other so that the whole of the body is far greater than the sum of the parts. But if that's going to work, if that kind of flourishing is going to happen for the body of Christ, Paul says, I got to tell you a more excellent way. This has to be done in love. Love trumps gifting. Love is the most important thing. It is the most excellent way. We read together the summer fellows who are with us. I got to teach them this week. It was a great time together. We read a couple of little pieces of literature this past week and discussed them on Friday. And one of them was C.S. Lewis's The Great Divorce, a picture of if you got to visit from hell to heaven, what would that be like? How different would the experience be? It's a fascinating little book. It's a great little read. But near the end of the book, the visitor, Lewis himself, being guided around by his guide, who is sort of in the personage of George MacDonald, his hero, is guiding him around these heavenly areas. And all of a sudden, this procession comes, and all these animals are caught up in it, and there's great music, and there's angelic beings. And Lewis sees this woman coming along, and she's got this radiance and this wonder about her, right? And he thinks, he's perhaps about to say, is this the Virgin Mary? Is this the one who bore in her womb as the very mother of God, God the Son taking on human flesh? And MacDonald says, no. It's no one you would have ever heard of. It's just Sarah Smith of Golders Green. This person not known for any great gifting, any great achievement in the church or in the world, but who just radiated love to every person, especially children who came around her. And that is now perfected in the heavenly realms. Love trumps everything. Love is the thing. When we use our gifts, right, love's what's inside of it. There really are giftings, whether it's teaching or serving or administrating or caring or praying, whatever these different spiritual giftings and activities are, right? They're just a vehicle to know God's love in Christ and share it. This is the best of the fruits. This is the first of the fruits that gets cracked open and others can taste and see the goodness of the Lord as love is growing in us. So the question this morning is, how is it that love is the most excellent way? Why is this so? I want you to think about this with me in just a couple of ways. First of all, because love, the love of God that comes to us in Christ, that agape, that grace-centered, universally extended love in Christ, right? It is essential. Essential that we know it and share it. Think about what the rest of the New Testament says about this love in Christ. First of all, it's how the world knows we're Christians. What did Jesus say in the upper room? We put this in the front of the bulletin for you in the quotes. In John 13, right before Jesus is going to his passion, he washes the disciples' feet, showing them the full extent of his love, the picture of what he's going to do by to wash them in the lowest place of service by being lifted high upon the cross, right? To wash away their sins and to pour out the fullness of God's love to them. He's picturing that by washing the disciples' feet in that upper room space. And then he says what? I'm giving you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. You were always called to love your neighbor as yourself back from the beginning of things. But now I've amplified it. I've exemplified it. This is the way you do it. Love one another as I love you. This is the way the world will know you are my disciples, by your love for one another. Francis Schaeffer, the great thinker and Christian writer of the last century, founded the Labrie movement first in Switzerland and various places across Europe and the United States. Now places to just come and to be in community for a while, to study all kinds of things about the Christian life and to engage all parts of the world with a Christian worldview, right? That's what Schaeffer was all about, this great thinker and writer. And he said over and over again, the great apologetic, the great defense of the faith is love. How we love one another in the body, the way Christ has loved us, sacrificially, joyfully, even to the point of death. Victor led us in such a beautiful prayer this morning, a few moments ago. He mentioned our team in Ukraine. You may have seen in the news during the night that Russian bombs came all over the country of Ukraine yesterday and into last night. The area of Lviv where the team is stationed before they go to camp never ever gets this kind of attack. It did last night. Our team spent the night in basement of the hotel with a constant bomb warning overhead. They were fine. The hotel was fine. They're up and at them today. They're very tired, but the camp is going to go on. The area up in the mountains away from that area is perhaps the safest area in the whole country. Everyone who committed to come to the camp is still coming. They said, please just pray for us. We're okay. Pray that the Lord will calm us and give us his peace, give us his strength. We didn't sleep at all last night, but we're excited to go and show the love of Christ to these college students from all over Ukraine. And Jeremy wrote me all this morning in a text, and he said, you know, the interesting thing is we just got the privilege, just got the little privilege, right, to experience for one moment what Christians and all people in Ukraine experience every day of their lives, right? That's what love is. Entering in with the way of Christ to serve at great cost to self. Where does the Lord, you don't have to go to the other side of the world, you don't have to be under a bomb threat, where does the Lord want you to sacrificially love? It's essential if the gospel is going to go forward that we do this. Where is he calling this to you? Even in this week ahead, in this 4th of July week, to love in this way. It's how the world's going to know it's essential, and it's how we know we're Christians. As the old song goes, they'll know we're Christians by our love. Yes, they will, but we will too. What are the verses we read earlier that Matt led us through in confession? If you have not love, then is God in you, right? Because God is love, and if you know God through Christ, then you'll become more and more a person of love as the Spirit is at work within you. Someone have heard me told this story before, those of you have been around a while, but I just can't help it. I just love this story, and I'm freer to tell it when my wife's not here. She'll be in the second service, right? But you see, you get the better version, right? But Fran and I met at Christmas time of 1983, the week after Christmas, at a conference held for college students, a Christian ministry, Campus Crusade for Christ, what's known CRU now. They had a national conference in Kansas City, Missouri. And so I'm sitting on the end of the row. There's 20,000 students at this conference, and in walks this beautiful redheaded girl from Birmingham, Alabama, Auburn University, and she looks kind of lost. She's got one friend with her, and she just says, "Hey, can my friend and I sit here? We got lost from the rest of our group." I said, "Sure, absolutely." Great day for me. So Fran still is a lovely redhead, which you don't know about me. I don't have any hair, and it's all white. I was a redhead too, okay? So we meet, we're sitting next to each other. We hear the great preaching from Howard Hendricks. We get in a little prayer group. I invite her, "Come to lunch with my friends and I." She goes, "Okay, we'll come with you." So we walk down the street and we're in line at Wendy's, the redheaded restaurant, right? The picture of Wendy is there. So we're in line. We're two redheads in line. And Fran says to me, we've known each other, 2 hours. She says to me, "You know, Paul, if we got married, we'd have all redheaded kids." And we did, and we do, right? We did, right? For almost 40 years later, if you are a Han, you're like the Weasleys. You have red hair, okay? Absolutely, no question about it. It is the family likeness. If we belong to the Father as His children, if we've been redeemed by the love of Christ so rich and free, love will mark us. It will mark us. So Paul takes all of that, right, and just says very simply, look, if you can speak in all kinds of tongues unknown that the Spirit gives you in an ecstatic experience, but you don't have love pressing you forward in that inside of all of that, you really don't have anything. You're just like a clanging gong or a smashing cymbal. It's interesting, a lot of theologians and who write about this text talk about there was a procession that would often go forth in Corinth for the Sibyl, the goddess. And there's sort of a play on words here that, you know what, you might be doing all this stuff in the name of Christ, speaking these amazing tongues, but if love is not driving you and is your way of life, it's just like you're going to a pagan ceremony. It's nothing. He says, you know what, if you have faith that can move mountains, you know, if you are able to just preach and speak and teach with great utterance, but you have not love, it is nothing. If you give up all that you have, if you go to Ukraine or you go across the street to love, if you're willing to take on great sacrifice, but it's not driven and moved and showered and bathed in love, marinated in love in every way, it gains nothing. So love is absolutely essential. Secondly, consider that love is beautiful. Paul goes in this next paragraph, right, and just describes the beauty. There's a beauty by what's there, and there's a beauty by what's not there. What is there? He said, just simply, love is patient and kind. The beauty of agape, gospel love that comes to us in Jesus and that we share in and through Him is that we get to be patient people. You know, my wife and I, we had a full day yesterday of activity, and I had to mow the lawn at the end of the day so we could just then go quickly and grab a bite to eat. And we got behind a family in the line at the restaurant, and it took so long. And when I thought that they were done, they went back and asked more questions at the register. And it was, I was just literally groaning back there, oh, And my wife is looking at me, "Paul, stop it," right? But, I mean, this kind of patience is so needed, right? Everybody needs patience. We need it ourselves. God is so patient to us in Christ, waiting on us to repent, waiting on us to grow, waiting on us to open ourselves up to the Spirit to renew us. Patience is so needed. And patience then is coupled with kindness. There's a waiting, there's a watching, there's not a demandingness. But when doors open, we move forward with kindness, graciousness, the way God is so ultra kind to us in Jesus. That's the beauty of love. You know, I'm thinking back, stuff Russia's doing now against Ukraine. I'm thinking back to the time when Ronald Reagan was president and his great strategy, right, was that we're going to deal with the Russians this way. This is the way we're going to connect and deal as a nation with Russia. We are going to come up with a great spending plan for defense. We're going to heighten, treble, you know, and beyond our military spending, and we're going to spend the Russians under the table on defense, and then they're going to collapse, and when would they do, we're going to be kind to them. Now, I remember when Ronald Reagan died, I had the flu that week. I watched every bit. I loved Reagan as a president. I watched just every bit of the stuff around him. And George Bush, the elder, George H.W. Bush, is talking about Reagan. And he said, you know what? I was in the CIA. My whole, you know, campaign against Reagan was that I really knew world affairs. And Reagan gets in the first cabinet meeting. He starts talking about this stuff. And it was ridiculous. Like, I had to hide my laughter what he was talking about. And it worked. And it worked. And it was stunning and amazing. Jesus' way to win all the peoples and the kingdoms of the earth is not to spend us or put pressure on us to come up with our own defenses against him. His way is just to wait on us in love. And when we crumble, and when we're broken, to move toward us in kindness. The very kindness of God, the loving kindness that is undeserved and free and eternal. And we're to be that way as his people. That's the beauty of what's inside love. Then Paul goes on to say, well, there are things that are not inside of love that make it also beautiful. You know, my yard died last summer. Completely. Every yard I've ever owned has always died. This was a nice yard when we moved in 2 years ago. It's a disaster now, okay? Youthies are coming over tonight. If you see it, you believe it. It's terrible, right? And we finally got some cover back on it after putting sod and, I mean, soil. We tried sodding. That didn't work. We put more soil down. We put manure down. There's some cover over it now because it's rained so much, but it's about five different kinds of grass, you know, and a bunch of weeds. And it is not beautiful at all. What makes Christian love beautiful in part is what is not in it, what is weeded out by God's Spirit, right? It's not boastful. It's not envious. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not selfish. It's not full of vainglory. But rather, it doesn't celebrate when wrongs are done to others, but believes and hopes for the best. See, what is not to be in our love is this kind of selfishness, is this kind of manipulation and controlling. Fran is constantly saying to me when we're talking about things, Paul, it is not always about you. It's not about you. It's about Christ in you, and just share this love that you're receiving. That's the beauty. It needs to be weeded out by the Spirit of us so that patience and kindness, believing the best and hoping the best, can grow. Love's essential. Love's beautiful. Love's eternal. Everything else, Paul says, functionally is going to go away. The knowledge you think you have about God in the world, Presbyterians, hear that again, the knowledge that you think you have about God in the world, is really nothing. It's like a child's little baby knowledge. It's kind of going to all go away. It's going to be so completed in ways that are beyond what you can ask or imagine. It functionally is going to go away. Faith, this thing that God gifts us with to cling to Jesus, it's going to be fully realized by sight. Seeing Jesus in new heavens and new earth fully before us, seeing it face to face with Him. Hope that we yearn for, the gospel certainty we have that God will make all things new. It's realized, it's fulfilled. But love will remain. I love what N.T. Wright says, the Anglican bishop that we put in the front of your bulletin, that quote. He says, love is the music of the gospel, right? That is not only something that blesses us, it's our destiny. We grow up more and more into love. Heaven, new heavens and new earth, is going to be marked by a fuller and greater love, pure love, unadulterated love. It is beyond what we can ask or imagine. I love what Jonathan Edwards said in his great work on charity and its fruits, a whole volume he wrote on love. He finishes with his chapter on glorification, on new heavens and new earth. And he said, you know what heaven is? Heaven is a world of love. Heaven is this place where love flourishes and abounds to the uttermost. Everything else in our lives will drop away, fall away, or be realized in ways beyond that we're just beginning to sort of grasp. But love will more and more flourish and grow. Love is our destiny. It's what we begin now and live in now and will for eternity. Now, maybe you listen to all of this and you're on the one hand encouraged by the beauty and the challenge here, but you're also, if you're honest, right, and I've told enough stories about myself, you ought to be broken by this. Because I know you got your stories too about your failures to love, to know love and to live in love. And I think Paul wanted the Corinthian church to be broken by this teaching. Why? Because he spends so much time before this talking about all the problems they had, all their failures to love God and each other, all the brokennesses that marked even the church there, much less the community around them, right? Let this passage break you today. Remember what we did. Matt so beautifully led us through that confession of sin. Yes, this is what I'm called to love as God loves me, but I don't. Let it break you. Let it humble you. And when that happens, then you're ready for the person of love, who is Jesus Himself. Then you're ready anew to come and taste and see, as Matt will lead us in just a moment, a love that will not let us go. Love is a person. It's Jesus. Come for you. He's there to say, Paul, I know you fail to love, but I love you anyway. And I'm giving you my Spirit, yes, to convict you, but to renew you and help grow love in you. Come back to me. Experience my love. Live in my love. I will grow my love in you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love you give us in Jesus. It's incomprehensible, really. Jesus, thank you for loving us with a love that will not let us go. Holy Spirit, thank you for pressing this love down into us through your gospel, through your presence in us, through even this sacrament we'll partake of in a moment. Lord, please grow love in us. We know it's essential for the world and for ourselves. We know this is where true beauty is, in love. Weed out that which is not of love in us, the control, the manipulation, the arrogance, the boasting, the pride, the envy, the selfish ambition, the demanding our own way, and grow the love of Jesus in us. Please, Lord, we pray it in your name. Amen.